Today's Shir Masech Techul on Daf Tzadik Aleph. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Aleph, Aleph, 8 lines from the top. In the previous year, we learned Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that the animal has 2 gidon, 2 sides, one on the right and one on the left. And the question is, which one is the one that the Torah said it's Asur? And the Gemara says it makes sense to say it's the one on the right. But the Gemara's question is, when he says a das noita, what does that mean? Does it mean das Torah, that he's definitive that it's the right one? Or does it mean that das noita, he thinks it's the right one, but it's not something that he could be 100% confident? So the Gemara brings a raya, Toshma, the Bryson teaches us, Ochom mizeh, kazayis mizeh, kazayis. If somebody ate from the gid on the right side, and from the gid on the left side, a kazayis. From each one, he ate a kazayis. Saifik shmoinim. Tanakam says he'll get 2 times malchus. Yudaim ain't a saifik, ella aboim. Only one set of malchus. So it says the Gemara, yeah, b'shlomo, if we will say, nemifshe pshitale, that it's 100% certain to him that it's the right that's usher and not the left shapir. So we can understand why he gets 1 set of malchus for eating the right gid. If we're going to say that it's something that is not clear to him, it's something which is a suffix to him, havilei hasra suffix. By every gid that he's going to eat, there's going to be a suffix. Is this the gid that the Torah said that he may not eat? We're never sure which is the gid that the Torah, which is the gid that was meant. Since we're never certain which was the gid that was never meant, so each hasra is going to be a hasra sofik. It's not a definitive hasra, it's only a questionable hasra. And the Gemara is saying, the Shamin Alei Rabbi Yehuda, and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is, the Omar, hasra sofik leshma hasra. The hasra that's given the sofik is not considered a valid hasra. If that's the case, over here, we can't punish him because it's a hasra sofik. Because every time, if we say that Rabbi Yehuda is clear that it's the right and not the left, so we understand why he'll be chayiv for hasra, for eating the right one, because that's definitely usur. And the hasra on the left one is meaningless because it's not the one that it's usur. But if in every one that he says to him, we don't know if that the right and then the left, or vice versa. We don't know which one is the vera, which is the not. So the hasra never becomes a definitive hasra. And since the hasra is not a definitive hasra, that you can't be chayiv punishment on unless it's definitive. So the question that Tosfos asks, but maybe we're speaking about a case where he's eating both of them, and he gets hasra, and here the hasra is a good hasra because one of them is certainly usur. And says Tosfos that it's hard to explain that that's the case of the mission that this Braisa is speaking about, that we eat them together. The wording of the Braisa seems to indicate that there were two separate acts of eating. Because Taisa says if it's one act of eating, then the Rabbanan who says you get 2 malchus becomes a question because we're not so certain that that is the opinion that if you eat both together, you'll get 2 times malchus. Rashi seems to say, I know that can't be the case because let's look at the wording of the Braisa. The wording of the Braisa is Ocho Mizeh Kazayis or Mizeh Kazayis. If we're speaking that he ate 2 kazaisim at the same time, then the wording of the Braisa should have been Ocho Beis Zaisim Mishnehem. And therefore, the wording indicates that they were not eaten at the same time. So now the Gemara wants to prove, how do we know that a sra sofik is not a sra? We know that the halacha is that when a woman becomes a widow or divorced, she should not get married for 3 months. The reason being, because if she'll have a baby 7 months later, if she gets married during that time, we're not sure who's the father. was she pregnant from the first husband? Was she pregnant from the second husband? So here we have a woman who did not wait, and she had a baby boy, and we're not sure who was the one and who is his real father. And we know that Torah is very strict about hitting a father, about cursing a father. And the Torah says, Hika zeh v'chaz v'hika zeh. If he hit one and then he hit the other, Kila zeh v'chaz v'kila zeh. And we cursed one and then the other one. Hika shneim v'bas achas. Or he cursed both of them at the same time. Kil shneim v'bas achas. And this person who did this horrible avera was warned. Chayiv. He's chayiv misa. Because he certainly cursed or hit a father. Rehuda says, "Bibas achas, if he hit them both at the same time, and since one of them is definitely the father, so he was over this terrible avera, and that's why he's chayiv misa. But if it happened, b'zachazah, he hit one after the other, potter, because in each one, that asra safik. And Rehuda holds that asra safik is not considered a valid hasra. The Rav Shmuel Rizovsky has a question. When the Gemara here is telling us that according to Yehuda, Hasra Sofik is not considered a valid Hasra, how is that to be understood? Is it to be understood that the Hasra Sofik is not considered a valid Hasra, or to be chayiv in an Oynish, you have to do the Aver B'mezit? Part of being considered that you did an Aver B'mezit is that you had a sra on the vera that you're doing. If that's the case, when there's a sra suffix, it's not considered that you did the vera in b'mezit. Where would be the nafkamina? If you have a person who's a talmid chacham, so he knows what he's doing is wrong. So if we say that it's lacking in the hasra, it could well be, says Rav Shmuel Rizovsky, that a Talmid Chacham doesn't have to have Asra. But if Hasra is part of the definition of what is considered mazid, so, and if without Hasra, it's not considered that you did the Aver B'mazid, and Asra Sofik is not considered an act of Asra, then you didn't do the Aver B'mazid. If you didn't do the Aver B'mazid, you don't get the punishment. So he says that he thinks that it's an issue in the mezid, and it's not considered an aveir b'mezid if you didn't have a asra. And therefore, if it's a asra sofik, then it's not considered hasra. So if that's the case, if Reb Yehuda is not clear which is the gid that's asr, and when he says v'adas noit, it's only his opinion, but he doesn't know that for sure, how come in this case are you going to be chayiv malchus even one set by each one, it's going to be Asra Sofik. Says the Gemara, Hai Sa Tana, the Tana of this price, in explaining Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, actually holds Savlachida Tana de Rabbi Yehuda. Like another place we see Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Damar, that opinion holds that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is actually Asra Sofik, is considered a valid Asra. Where do we see this? The Tanya. The Torah speaks about that you're not allowed to have Noiser of a Karban Pesach. And the Pasuk said, and the Tana discusses, if somebody did leave over from the Karban Pesach, he doesn't get Malchus. Because the Torah says, Yehuda says, the reason you don't get Malchus for leaving over from the Karban Pesach is because it's a lav shein b'maisa. And his opinion is that for a lav shein b'maisa, There is no Malchus. Now let's think about it, says the Gemara. Every time somebody leaves over from the Karban Pesach, it's Asra Sofik. Why is it considered a case of Asra Sofik? Let's say the Nates is 5 o'clock in the morning, and you're giving him warning in the middle of the night, don't leave over from the Karban Pesach. When you give him warning in the middle of the night, that's Asra Sofik, because there's so many hours. There's so many hours until the time of the Karban Pesach. Yet we see, so why do we have to say that there's no Malchus? Because it's not Nafa Nitik Lasei. because it's a lav that you could correct. The reason you could correct it is by burning it, say, because there was no proper asra. Obviously, Rabbi Yehuda is not bothered by the fact that it's asra sofik. Yaakov, Amir Yaakov says a different reason why there's no malchus for leaving over nicer. You're just leaving over. And just leaving over is not doing something, and you don't get malchus for not leaving over. It's important to point out that Ritva says that even though Rav Yaakov is saying the reason is because it's lav shei b'maisa, it's not that Rav Yaakov disagrees with the concept of lav hanitik lasei. There's nobody in Shas, says Ritva, that disagrees that for lav hanitik lasei there's no malchus. He just says that we should not interpret that pasuk to teach us that this is a lav hanitik lasei. Rav Yaakov's understanding of that pasuk is that is not that the pasuk is coming to teach us that the lav of leaving over nois is a lav hanitik lasei can be corrected by that say. Rather, the pasuk is really coming to teach us that the reason there's no malchus is because lav shei b'maisa. And the pasuk is coming to teach us another halacha that we've mentioned previously. When does it become nois? In the morning or the first day yontif? And the Torah is saying that even though it became noiser, and of course the halacha is that noiser must be burnt, this noiser should not be burnt on yontif. We should wait for after yontif to burn the noiser. And it's nothing to do with lav, and that's not the purpose of the pasuk. For what we see from here is, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that asra sofik shma asra. And therefore, it could well be that Rabbi Yehuda is not certain which is the Yerech, which is the Gira Nosha that's Asr. He's not the one that, what he called, that he considers that it's Asr. Rather, the way to understand that Pasuk, the way to understand that Pasuk is that Rabbi Yehuda, the way to understand the Pasuk is that Rabbi Yehuda holds one as Asr, and we're giving Asra for each one, and even on each one is Asra Sufik. Rabbi Yehuda is not bothered with the problem of Asra Sufik, and therefore the question that we began with, when Rabbi Yehuda says, I think that the halacha is that it's only the right one that's also not the left one, we're not certain how to understand what does Rabbi Yehuda mean. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean with that statement? Says the Gemara, Tashma, the another try is another raya. If somebody ate two gidim from two right yirechos, from two animals, soifik ishmoinim, he'll get two sets of malchus according to Tanakama. Yudaim ain't a soifik el aboim. Says the Gemara, the fact that the Gemara said this example, it's obvious that the pasuk, the Gemara is speaking about a case, the pshita the tevayli sura, it's speaking about that two animals, both the right side. That even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'll get only one set of malchus. Shmamina, says the Gemara, it's a proof that to Rabbi Yehuda there's no question that you get malchus for the right side. Because if he's not certain, you still shouldn't get any malchus. Shmamina. But now ask the Gemara if that's what this Bryce is teaching us. And this Bryce is teaching us that according to Rabbi Yehuda, you'll get two malchus. You'll get malchus because I know for sure when the Torah says the Gidon Nosh is Osir, it means the right side. And here you ate two right Gidon. So that's the case. And my Sofik Aboim Suloi, what do you only get? One set of malchus. Lokish Shmoinim. You should get two sets of malchus. You ate two Gidon. Answers the Gemara, Akamai Skinen. The Bryce is speaking about the case, kind of less by Kazayas, that neither Gira Nosha has a Kazayas. The Tanya, Achloi Ve'en by Kazayas, Chayiv. The Tanakama is of the opinion that even if you have a Gira Nosha that doesn't even have a Kazayas, you're still Chayiv Malchus. Because he considers it a barrier. And for a barrier, you get Malchus. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, just because it's a barrier, you won't get malchus, achei b'kazayis. So the reason you have to eat two, yes, Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's the right side that's asur. But just because it's the right side, If it doesn't have a kazayis, it wouldn't be asur. Over here, the reason he gets malchus, because when we combine these two giranoshes that he ate, we had a kazayis. But since we only had a kazayis, that's why you get only one malchus. The tamamai, why does Rabbi Yehuda hold that it's only the right giranosh that's asur, not the left one? Says the Gemara, Amarava, Amakra, because the pasuk says, Al ken yalach b'nei Yisrael skira nosha akafa yerech. He learns hayerech that with a hay, which means hay yumanish b'yerech. The more important one, which means the right side. Rabbanon, and the Rabbanon who disagree, says the Gemara, Hahu, the Torah says the word yerech. How it says hayerech, the pasuk isur b'kala yerech, that the Girad Nosha is not just that one piece of Gid, it's the entire Gid that spreads throughout the vein. And as we discussed in our previous shir, there are two Yerach, there are two Gidim. There's the right, there's the Yerach Achitz and the Yerach Apnimi. Only, says the Gemara, that the Yerach Apnimi, which spreads, is the Yerach that's Aser, Lefuke Achitzen, that doesn't spread, the Lloyd, that's not considered a Giranosha. But it has nothing to do with right and left. Rav Shuben Levi gives a different way of understanding Rav Yehuda's opinion why it's only the right, not the left. Because the Pasuk says, V'tika kaf yarek yakoy bi ofkei omay. So it says, the Gemara, how do we view this picture? The way we look at this picture, the way we look at it is, k'odem shakhevik is chaveroi, when one person is attacking another person and he, so to speak, hugs him, and he puts his hand around him, one facing the other one. He puts his hand around him. And it touches the right, goes around and touches on the right side. So it was the right kid that was the one that got hit. And that's why that's the one that's awesome. What happened? The Malach that Yaakov encountered, as we're going to be discussing extensively in our shir today, looked like a nochri. Damamar, Yisrael shenitvah oiv tichom b'derech. If a Yisrael attaches himself to walk with a Jew while he's walking teifelim in, the Yisrael should walk to the left of the nochri. Because, chas v'shalom, if that nochri were to try to attack him, so his stronger side, the right hand of the Jew, is next to the Nachri, and he'll have his stronger hand available to use to defend himself. So this Malach looked like a Nachri. And since this Malach looked like a Nachri, Yaakov Avinu walked to his left. And Yaakov Avinu's right side was next to the Nachri, and that was the Giranosha that the Malach attacked. And that's why he says it's the right Giranosha we're not allowed to eat. That actually he looked like a Talmud Chacham. Damamar, Hamalach Yamin Rabbi, and somebody walks to the right of his Rebbe, is not considered proper Derech Cheretz. And because the Malach looked to Yaakov like a Talmud Chacham, Yaakov walked to the left of the Malach, and since Yaakov walked to the left of the Malach, then that's why he was able to attack him on the right side. It's very interesting that the Satmar Rebbe points out that the Gemara says Hamahalach, then you walk. He says when we're walking with our Rebbe, that's the time we have to be concerned and thinking: are we walking with the proper Derech Eretz? But when we're sitting and learning, that's not the time for these kind of thoughts. Where am I sitting? Where am I standing? I should be concentrating on my Rebbe. Another pshat that I saw from the Majid to Rebbe in the Sefer Yisa Brocha is that there are people that we know that the Gemara often uses the concept of Yamin Mekarev and Smol Doicha. Yamin is what draws near, and the Smol is what pushes away. Hamahalach Limin Rabbi. somebody's attitude to his Rebbe is that Yamin, my Rebbe should always be praising me. My Rebbe should always be saying that I did the right thing. And he never wants to have the small. He doesn't want to have a Rebbe who sometimes criticizes him. Harezabor, that you're not a real Talmud Chacham. You're not a real Talmud. A Talmud has to be ready to be on the left of his Rebbe, to be able to have his Rebbe give him criticism. Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan held that actually what happened was that the Rabbanan who say that it affects both Gidim, because their opinion is, Machari also, the Malach was walking behind Yaakov, Avinasvish Tervayu, and he attacked both Gidim, and that's why the halacha is that it's Asa. The Sefer Imrus Hashem says, here we have such an interesting question. Did he look like a Talmud Chacham, or did he look like Oivik Chacham, two extremes? And he says that that's the way we're supposed to sometimes look at people. Sometimes we're supposed to look at people and give them the benefit of the doubt, and sometimes we have to be concerned, who are these people? And that's why we find that Yaakov Avinu had both attitudes as he was coming to the, as he was dealing with this person. And that's exactly what the pasuk mean, the Gemara means to say, that it was that both Yacharasa, that we're trying to teach us that we also have to always look for both. The Baal Shem Tov says that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos, the Cheshev Sofer says this pshat, that the Gemara Masech the Shabbos of Ayin Hey Amar Al says, Shoichet b'shamay chayiv. If somebody kills an animal on Shabbos, what is the malacha? Rav Omer Mishum Tzaveya. It's called dying because you're causing blood to make the skin of the animal red. And the Baal Shem explains that it means that whenever we deal with somebody who's trying to make us the Yetzahara, Mishum Tzaveya, the Yetzahara's objective is Tzaveya. He colors things, he paints things. We think that what we're doing is a mitzvah. We think what we're doing, we're doing something wrong, but he tries to paint it as a mitzvah. And that's what happened over here as well. The Yetzirah, the Malach of Esav, is obviously a Yetzirah. And he was trying to convince Yaakov Avinu that he's a Talmud Chacham, and that what he's trying to convince him to do is right. And but he really was an Oivik Chacham. What he's trying to convince him is a mitzvah was really an Aveira. Rabbanan, says the Gemara, hi, the Afgemai, my Dashbei, that we use that pasuk to explain which that it was the right kid that he attacked. The dust of their fighting went up to the Kisei HaKovid. The pasuk says in Navi, Hashem Nochem, Hashem Besuf V'Sar Dark V'Ana Avak Raglov. And I saw that the Sefer Birkas Avram says, what does it mean, Avak? The Malach of Esav was trying to examine Yaakov Avinu. And of course, as he's examining Yaakov Avinu, you cannot find that Yaakov Avinu did any Averis. But the Gemara sometimes speaks about an Avak Avera. Avak Avera means the dust on Avera. Avak Lashon Hara, Avak Zera, Gzela. Things that aren't really the Avera, they're just like the Avak, the subsidiaries of Avera. And what happened here was that he was trying to see if Yaakov Avinu even did an Avak Avera, up to the Kisei HaKovid, that they saw that Yaakov Avinu's acts and his way he behaved was so pure, there was even no Avak involved in any Avera that he did. The Sefer Panim Yafis explains that the Pasuk says, the Medrash says, Ein Hashem Shalom Ven Kisei Shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kisei HaKovid is not complete Ad Sheyimach HaShemay Shel HaMolech, until HaMolech is completely eradicated. Here, that was the Machama of Yaakov and Esav. And the Esav knew that if he'll be able to trip up Yaakov, even in a small Avera, then Yaakov, who is in the Kisei HaKovid, the picture of Yaakov Avinu was on the Kisei Kavod, they won't be able to prevail over Esav. And he was looking to try to trip up Yaakov, even in Avak Avera, but was unsuccessful. Why is it called Gira Nasha? Noshim Kaim of Allah. It jumped out of its place. The Pasuk is speaking about the Mechama of Yaakov with the Malach. Devash Shalach B'Yaakov is the Gira Nasha. The Nafal B'Yisrael, Shepashar Yisrael B'Chol Yisrael, that from then on we know that no one like Kla Yisrael is allowed to eat the Gira Nasha. The Sefer Tferes Yaakov explains this Gemara, that what he was saying to him was that in the future generations, unfortunately, Klal Yisrael are going to suffer. And what's going to happen was that the Gira Nosha is here to remind us that nothing could cause Klal Yisrael to fall. Even if they attack us, we will survive. The Pasuk says that Yosef told the people in his family that when he revealed himself, and when he met his brothers and he wanted to serve them a meal, he said, "Tvayach teichachin." What does that mean? Paralam beis shchita. He showed them that he did the shchita properly. V'hachein, that's tvayach. V'hachein, tol geranosh b'fneihem, take out the geranosh. Command Amar. Obviously, this is following the opinion that geranosh is oslo b'nei noyach, and that's why the geranosh was removed. So Tosfos asks, who says that it means that it was Usr? Maybe, just like Klal Yisrael, we find Yaakov Avinu and the Shvatim were careful of all the other mitzvahs. They were careful of the mitzvah of Gira Nosha. But how do we know it was that they were obligated? So he answers, the word Hochein seems to indicate something that they must do, not something that was just voluntary. The Tosfos says that the word tavech is means shchita, but if they were not obligated in the mitzvah shchita, why did they have to show that they did shchita? The answer being, explains Tosfos, that one of the Zion mitzvahs b'nei noach is eva menachai. So even though a goy doesn't have the din of shchita, the animal has to be killed before they could eat it. And what he was saying to them is, I'm careful to make sure the animal is dead before you eat it, so it shouldn't be eva menachai, which is one of the Zayin B'metzes B'nai Noyach, and I'm also careful to remove the Gira Nosha, but that's one of the Zayin B'metzes B'nai Noyach. The Tzlach asks a different question. He says, if the Pasuk is saying that he showed them that they did Shchita, so what Yosef is showing them, that I'm careful with Shchita. So if he's careful with Shchita, why does he also have to say that he's careful with the Gira Nosha? So he says that from here we see that like this, Shchita, they weren't obligated in yet, but they took it upon themselves. So since they weren't obligated, they took it upon themselves, any Shchita would be satisfactory. But the Gira Nosha, says the Gemara, was Nesar Lebnei Noyach. Since the Gira Nosha was Nesar Lebnei Noyach, so there, they can't just say, well, whatever is done is good enough. For that, they had to do really what is absolutely required, because the halacha is that B'nai Noyach were us. But then, of course, many Mefarshim ask, how could we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that a Nochri can't do Shchita. Shchita's Oiv Tekhov Nevela, the Shulchan Aruch and Yeridei Simon Beis, Sif Aleph Paskins. So if that's the case, even if they showed him the base of Shchita, why would that be satisfactory? A Nochri is not going to redo it. So the Mefarshim answer that Parlam base of Shchita doesn't mean that they did the Shchita. The Mashal seems to say this. What happened here was that Yosef prepared the animal, and after the animal was all prepared for the Shchita, he told Yaakov, one of you should do the actual Shchita. because the shechita has to be done strictly by a Jew. Another pshat that Mefarshim suggests is that really they shouldn't have eaten the meat. They considered it a situation of pikuach nefesh. And since they considered it a situation of pikuach nefesh, that's why they're allowed to eat it. Another teretz, which is something that we often discuss, is that the Shvatim, Yaakov Avos and the Shvatim, even though they knew all the mitzvahs, especially when they were in Chutz Laaretz, they didn't always keep all the mitzvahs. That's why you find Yaakov married two sisters. And that's why over here, even though normally we cannot rely on the Shechita of a Nachri, over here they were able to rely on the Shechita of a Nachri because they felt that it's not something that they're obligated to do. But since and it's in Chutz Laaretz and the situation of a Sakana, that's why they're allowed to do it. They were allowed to eat it. And they showed that they did a shechita. Vivasi Yaakov Vada, Amar of Lazar, Shneshtaya Pachim Ktanim. Yaakov stayed there just to go back for small pictures. Kan, Tzadikim Shchavalem and Mainam. Tzadikim are more concerned about the money, Yos Megufim. And that's why Yaakovinu went back for the Pachim Ktanim. Why are Tzadikim so concerned about the Pachim Ktanim, up to the point that Dasa Kainim, Chumash says, don't read it, V'yivasa Yaakov Vadoi, but rather read the Pasuk, V'yivasa Yaakov Lekadoi. Why? Because she ain't pushed to Yudayim Begazel, because they don't want to steal, so therefore everything they have is so precious to them, because they never would steal. But of course the question is, that even though they're so careful about everything they have, and they don't want to take something that's stolen, but isn't there a dinam ben shmatam oilun nafshe seichem? So how was Yaakov Avinu justified to do something was dangerous? Says the Chasam Sofer that what the Gemara should be understood is that anything that belongs to tzaddik is infused with kedusha, and Yaakov did not want to leave something that has kedusha in it. For not kept by him, worried that it would end up in somebody else's hands. Another pshat, what it meant the Gemara to say is that Yaakov Avinu didn't go at night. At night, when it's dark, which is Sakana, he went to gone. He went when it was still daytime, and he thought he would have enough time to do it during the day, and then it turned dark. Ramey Shapiro, along the same line, says that a tzaddik, everything that he has, which is gashmias, is used for ruchnias. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu thought that this is an opportunity that he can't leave something which can be used for kedusha, for Torah, to be used for something else. And because of that, chavim aleim emayin yos megufam, because they don't look at money as something which is just gashmius, which is not really very valuable. To them, every gashmius, the object, has in it so much ruchnius, because you could do ruchnius with gashmius. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu looked at this as something that you're allowed to give up your life for, because it's something that I'm going to use for ruchnius. And I saw that, in fact, that's the reason, explains the Chasam Sofer, when we buy kalim, when we buy utensils, we have to take them to the mikveh. When we have something which looks just like a utensil, but it could be used for ruchnius, how do we represent that? By putting into the mikveh. The Sefer Zecher Chaim explains that what Yaakov Avinu was trying to teach his family. Yaakov Avinu looked at his entire life as an opportunity to teach his family how we're supposed to live. And by Yaakov Avinu going for the Pachim Ketanim, that's the way he was able to teach the Shvatim and us how to be careful with what we have and not take anything for granted and not be that liberal with our money. And in fact, the Sefer B'Shem Mordechai says that on Chanukah we sing, so the question is, it says Uminoisa Kankanim. There was only one Pach. Why does it say Kankanim? So he says that Yaakov Avinu, Uminoisa Kankanim, from those little Pachim, there were a few Pachim, as seems to be indicated in the Gemara. Yaakov Avinu, what he did that night was what influenced that many years later we should be able to have a Nes of Chanukah. Should not take should not go out alone by night, because Yaakov Avinu was left alone by night, and that's why this happened. So of course the Ben Yehuda says, so how did Yaakov Avinu do this? So he answers that the Gemara Masech the Brachos says the moonlight is considered like two people. So when Yaakov Avinu went out, the moon was shining. And since the moon was shining at that point, it wasn't like he was walking alone. But then what happened was, the moon got covered, it got obscured, and it was left as if Yaakov Avinu, it looked like Yaakov Avinu was standing there at night. The Rav Adabar Kahana Amar Mahocha. This is the story. He Zayre Garen Serem Halayla. The pasuk says the Nomi told Rus to go to Boaz in the Garen after he's going to be finished working in the field. Nomi was certain that Boaz would not be going home, because going home would mean that he would go home alone, and she was certain that Boaz would not walk home alone. Ravu Amar Mahocha. How do we know that you shouldn't go out at night? So we see that he only went out in the morning, not at night. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. Taisus says that Avraham Avinu did not go to the Akedah by himself. We knew he took along Eliezer and Yishmael. So what does this mean? Yitzchak. So he says it doesn't mean that Vayashkem. He says it means the Vayashkem, that when Avraham Avinu got up to daven for Stoim, there he was standing by himself. But he only did it in the morning because he didn't want to go out alone by night. Rabbanu Amar Mahocha, when Yaakov Avinu sends Yosef to look for the brothers, he says, Lechna Rosh Shloim, Achecha Veshloim, Hatsoim Veshiven Edover. Go at a time where go during a time where you could see what's going on. He did not send him during the night where he wouldn't be able to see, because he shouldn't be walking at night alone. Rav Avraham Mahocha, we know the pasuk says v'yizrachla Hashemish. V'amar Rav Akiva, shalti esar gemlias Rav Yeshua be'itlas shel imamim. Ask a gemlias Rav Yeshua in the butcher shop of imamim. Shahochu likach behemel mishta b'noy shel gemlial. They were there buying meat for the wedding of the son of Rav Gemlial. And of course, the mefarshim asked the obvious question: why does the pasuk have to tell us this entire discussion of that they went to buy meat? So the Gemara is teaching us what is the definition of a Talmud Chacham. And the definition of a Talmud Chacham is a person who's learning all of the time. And the Gemara is teaching us that they went here to buy meat. And not only did they go buy meat, they went to buy meat for a wedding. So one would think that if they're going to buy meat for a wedding, they're oisik b'mitzvah. And if somebody's oisik b'mitzvah, yipata min ha-mitzvah. Here we're seeing that they still learn Torah, and they didn't say, well, now we're exempt because we're doing a mitzvah. Also, we see from here that when it comes to do a mitzvah, one shouldn't take the approach where I am a great Talmud Chacham, and I don't have to do every little mitzvah, going to buy meat for a wedding. Here we see the greatest Tanoim participating in buying meat for the wedding. The pasuk says, "V'yizrachla Shemesh." The sun came up for Yaakov. And the question is, "V'chi Shemesh loy levada zarcha?" Did the sun only come up for Yaakov? "V'loy lechol olam zarcha?" When the sun comes up for everybody. Amar Yitzchak Shemesh abba ba'avuroi, zarcha ba'avuroi. The once the sun went down, now the sun came up all in honor of Yaakov. The pasuk says, V'yetz Yaakov b'sheva v'yel charona. V'ksev yifka b'mokayim. He was in Beis El. So the question is, how could he go from Beis Sheva and go to Beis El before he gets to Charan? What happened was, you have to pass Beis El first. What happened was he traveled to Charan. And when he got to Charan, he thought to himself, he realized, I passed the place where Avram and Yitzchak davened, and I'm not going to daven there. So he decided to go back to Beis El. And at that point, Kofzle Ora, he had Kfitzes Oderech, and he got right back to where he came from. Yad V'yavka B'mokim. And that's where he davened. And says the Gemara, Katzoli, when he finished davening, Ba'ilu Meheder, he wanted to go back to Charan. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Tzadik Zebola Mois B'leinai, the Tzadik is staying with me. V'yivta B'leilina, and she'll leave without staying over. Yad Ba Hashemesh. And the sun that went down early at that time came up now. Why? So the question is, why at that point did he have Kfitzes Haaretz? Why didn't he have Kfitzes Haaretz as he was traveling to Charan? So the Brisker Rav explains, when he was traveling to Charan, he was doing a mitzvah, Kibbutz Ov Eim. That's where his parents told him to go. When you're doing a mitzvah, you get a mitzvah for every step. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to make Kfitzes Haaretz. Only now, where he wasn't doing it for Kfitzes Haaretz, for a mitzvah that his parents told him to do, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu make Kfitzes Haaretz. V'yifka memokim, it means that Yaakov Avinu davened. Even though we see it was still day. So from here we see, I saw that the Paiskim suggest that we could daven Ma'ariv even by day if necessary. Of course, we'll have to say over Krishma Shalavis. The Taurus Chaim suggests that what happened was Yaakov Avinu had intention to daven mincha, and he thought there was still time to daven mincha. But now Kivah Shemesh, the sun came down, and it became too late to daven mincha. And because it became late, and he couldn't daven mincha, that's why he instituted to daven Ma'ariv. The Sefer, the Kotzker, explains that what happened here was Yaakov passed this place and he realized and he thought to himself, who am I to daven in the same spot where my others Avram and Yitzchak davened? And then he came to the recognition, everything that we have is only because of the others. And even if we're not on the madrega of the others, we still have to try to connect to them. And therefore he wanted to go back to the place where they davened, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him kvitzes haderech that he should be able to get back to where they came from so quickly. The Sefer Emes V'Amun explains that Yaakov Avinu, when he passed by, he thought that he should just not be davening there. And then he realized that this was an assignment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him, that how could you walk by the place where the Ovis davened and skip davening, and he wanted to correct what he did, and he went back. Says the Gemara, Ksiv Yikach Ma'avnei HaMakam, Loshen Rabim, Ksiv, in the other passage, Yikach Heaven, one stone. Says the Gemara, what happened here was, Amr of Yitzchak, Melamed, that what happened was, all the stones came to Yaakov Avinu, was about to lay down. And everyone said that Tzadik should put his head on me. Tana, and what happened was, so I saw, the Mefarshim ask a question, even if all the stones turned into one stone, how does that solve our problem? Because when you have a stone and Yaakov Avinu is going to put his head down on the stone, it's going to be only on one spot on the stone. And the other spots on the stone are going to be upset that he didn't put his head on that stone, on his stone. And the first would say a tremendous lesson. What happened? All these stones came together. So there was that represents achdus. When there's achdus, there's no problem that it's on this spot and that spot. When did all these problems emerge? These problems only emerge when there is no achdus. But in a case where Baruch Shem, we have achdus, then we don't have to worry that it's on this spot, not on that spot. The pasuk continues saying, "V'yachol v'hinei sulam mutzav arutz tana kama rochva shetzulam." How wide is the ladder of Yaakov? Shmonas alofim pasos. The ksiv v'hinei malachim oilim v'yardim ba oilim shnayim. Two malachim were walking up, v'yardim shnayim, and two malachim were walking down. V'chipag badadi. So when they're all together, we have four malachim, and it says by the malach gviyase katarshus. The malach is big as Tarshish. The Gemiri, Tarshish, Trey Alpha Parasava, the Tarshish is 2,000 Amma. So now 2,000 times 4 equal 8. Tana Oilam Stakim B'diyuk Nishamala. The Malachim went up the ladder. We're looking at the Kisei HaKovod. And as we said before, the Demus of Yaakov Avinu, the image of Yaakov Avinu is on the Kisei HaKovod. Ba'al Skunei. And that's why when they saw Yaakov in this place, they wanted to punish him. They were jealous of Yaakov Avinu, that he is the one, that his image is on the Kisei HaKovod. Yad, immediately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him, V'Hashem Nitzavolov. Amar Hashem Elok Shemolim Mikra Kosov, Yevshala Amrei. The Pasuk says, V'Hinei Hashem Nitzavolov. What does that mean? Ka'adam Shemenev, Albanoi, just like a father would put something on top of a person to protect him, a father put something on top of a son to protect him, here HaKadosh Baruch Hu protected him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov Arsha Shetashach Valeir, Mayr Vusei, Luchat Nenel Zarecha, Amar Yitzhak Malam Shehik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Etz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu folded up all of Etz Yisrael, Hinicha Tachas Yaakov Avinu, and placed that under Yaakov Avinu, and that's why Shteinach LeKavish Levonov. The Mefarshim explain that once somebody owns something, it becomes his and becomes easier for his children to reclaim it. And here too, by Yaakov Avinu having Etz Yisrael, it became easier for us to reclaim Etz Yisrael. We go back to the episode of the Malach and Yaakov Avinu, and the Malach says to Yaakov Avinu, "Yom Shalcheni Ke'olah Shachar." Amalai. So Yaakov says to Malach, "Ganavata, you are a ganav, you a kidnapper, that you're concerned that you should not be out by day." Menashach, Amalai Malachani, I am really a Malach. Miyom Shnevresi, from the day I was created, Loigeriz Mane Loim Shira, I never had an opportunity to say Shira ad Achshav until now. And of course, the question is, if that was the day that he was destined to say Shira, so then that's not the day you go out to fight with Yaakov Avinu. That's the day you stay home and do what you're supposed to do. The answer is, when does the Malach get an opportunity to say Shira? A Malach gets an opportunity to say Shira when he has accomplished what he's supposed to accomplish. The Malach was fighting with Yaakov and got Yaakov to prevail. That was an accomplishment of a Shlichus, and now you could say Shira. Masail Rav Chanina Amarav, Dar Rav Chanina Amarav, Rav Chanana Amarav, Shalosh Kiddush Malach Hashiras, I'm Shira B'chol Yom. Three groups of Malachim say Shira every day. Akhrasam is Kaddish, one says Kaddish, Akhrasam is Kaddish, Akhrasam is Kaddish Shem Tzavakais. So they say Shira only once. Meisvei asked the Gemara, how can we say that the Malachim say Shira? Kaddish Hashem Tzavakais. Chavim Yisrael fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yosef Malach HaSharis. The Brisa says the Klai Yisrael is more beloved than the Malach HaSharis. Yisrael HaMashira B'chol Shah. The Yisrael could say Shira whenever they want. Malach HaSharis Einar HaMashira El Pamach B'yom. They only could say Shira once a day. V'amalei Pamach B'Shabbos once a week. V'amalei Pamach B'Chadish once a month. V'amalei Pamach B'Shana once a year. V'amalei Pamach B'Shavua once every 7 years. V'amalei Pamach B'Yom once every 50 years. V'amalei Pamach B'Yom once altogether. We say Hashem's name after two words, as the Apostle says, Shema Yisrael Hashem. Malach HaSharis ain't Maskim as Hashem, Ela Ach HaSholosh Dveyes. They say, Kaddish, 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 Hashem Tzavakis. Furthermore, Ein malach shiras oimer shira lamala. The malach shiras cannot say shira at she oimer yisrael matan until we say shira. Shenemra brin yak kofei bakar v'had of yiru kol bnei elokim. Ela achas amres kadosh v'achas amres kadosh kadosh v'achas amres kadosh kadosh tzavakas. They only could say Shem after three times kadosh. But as the Gemara, the pasuk says Baruch Kvar Hashem Kaimed, the Malachim say, and that's saying Hashem after two words. That says the Gemara Baruch Efanim Udamrile. There is a higher level of Malachim called Efanim, and they could say Hashem's name after two words. Vibay Seima, the way it is that Malachim cannot say Shira only after three words. However, Kiyun this Av Lam Rishus, that once they're given Rishus, once they're given Rishus, then they could say as much as they want. The first time they can't say only after three words, then only afterwards they could say. That's pshat where we say, those that daven nusach svard, say, Kesa yitnu lecha Hashem alkenim alocha amayne ma'ala, em amcha Yisrael kavutze mata. Em amcha Yisrael, only after amcha Yisrael say shira, then Kesa yitnu lecha can the malachim say shira.